Today we finish up Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. They are in their entirety in your Bible, but we'll also be looking at some other passages today. But reading our text today, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths will faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So far in this chapter, we've seen six things. Comfort for the people of God. The impermanence of man. The permanence of the Word of God. The responsibility of the people of God to proclaim the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and the futility of serving idols. We've looked at those six things as we've been in this chapter in the previous weeks. Today we end this chapter by seeing that God gives power and strength to those weak, impermanent humans as a demonstration of His power. We see the weakness of the people of Judah in verse 27. They say, my way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disrespected by my God. In other words, those people in their difficulties and their challenges were saying, God doesn't care. He doesn't give me what I deserve. Never mind that the only thing that one of us truly deserves is death and hell. And that is a result of our disobedience. These people somehow think that they deserve better. That they deserve the blessings of God. And where is He? As far as they're concerned, He is somehow absent. After all, He's allowed the Assyrians to march into their land. And He's allowed them to despair of life itself. Now before we judge them too harshly, how many times have we done the same thing? We think that God is uncaring, or at the very least, we think that He doesn't understand us. We think that He doesn't give us what we need. And this truly is a battle of wills. We are placing our will, our desire, ahead of His will and His desire. Instead of praying as Jesus instructed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, we turn things around and we're prone to say, my kingdom come, my will be done. Heaven needs to get with the program and give me what I want here on earth. And as a result, we've turned things completely upside down. We expect that God is going to dance to our tune. That's something we talked about last week when we talked about the futility of idols, the fact that we make idols, we make gods of our own devising, gods that'll do what we want. And we're wrong in doing that. That's exactly what the people of Isaiah's day were doing. They expected that God was going to yield to their wills. He was going to act for their benefit. He was going to deliver what they expected. This is truly as idolatry. That you can push God off into a box and you can say, you do what I want. But even though these are rebellious people, God is going to act for their benefit, but He's going to do it in a way that they may not want or that they can't even begin to imagine. They want a life of peace, no enemies. They want full bellies. They want abundant riches. He is going to give them turmoil, persecutors on every side, famine, and loss of riches. Not just during the Assyrian incursion they're facing right then, but eventually during that Babylonian captivity that will come in the future. We're exactly the same. We have an expectation as to what God has to give us. And when He doesn't, then we're disappointed in Him. And we're also not shy in telling Him just how poorly it is that He is doing. But didn't we see at the beginning of this chapter that God gives comfort? We certainly did. But that comfort comes in spite of our circumstances, not because of them. What God ordains for us may or may not be what we think we need. But is always what He deems best for us. We're reminded in verse 28 of the power of God, something that has been repeated throughout this chapter. Now remember, whenever you see repetition in Scripture, it's like a big red flag that's waving, and it's calling you to pay attention. It's saying, well, look here, don't miss this. This is important. When we see repetition, don't pass over it quickly. Spend time finding out exactly what it is that God wants you to take from that passage. As we've noted before, any comfort that we have, any peace that we experience, does not come from us. But instead, if we're to have comfort, it's only going to come from His greatness. That's why that's repeated in this chapter. And it's only going to come from God's ability to perform perfectly everything that He desires. He is the everlasting. He is the Creator. He is the Almighty. He never grows tired. He never faints. Now, we may not understand, limited as we are, in these finite bodies and our finite understanding, we may not fully understand how this can be. Especially when we're faced with the problem of evil intruding into His creation. But His ways are unsearchable. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As we said before in this chapter, we know of Him only that which He chooses to reveal to us. And God often doesn't choose to reveal the reasons why He does much of what He does. He gives us enough revelation to be obedient, but He doesn't give us enough revelation to answer all our questions. That's the role of faith. That we believe that God is working all things together for our good and His glory. Even though sometimes we have difficulty seeing it. And we don't know why God would allow this particular thing to intrude in our lives. We need to remember that God is powerful. We need to remember that God is wise. We need to remember that God is good. We need to remember that God is perfect. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He works out all things according to His will. And He is the one who sets the rules. And when we violate His rules, we do so at our own peril. We don't fully understand Him. No finite being ever could. But we are required to obey Him. He's given us just enough revelation to know what He requires, as well as giving us the penalty for our failure to obey. But in our passage, we're told He gives power to the faint. Now, we may be faint because we're oppressed in this world. We may be faint because we're lacking food. We may be faint because of fear or grief or illness or overexertion. We may be faint because we have come under the hand of His chastisement. But the Word tells us today that He gives power to the faint. What is it that makes you faint today? Is it the cares of the world? Is it a physical ailment? Is it a lack of supply? Is it the fact that you've fallen into the consequence of your bad decisions and bad behavior? Whatever the reason for your faintness, He gives power to the faint among His people. And the amazing thing of this is that this power comes despite our natural strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul said that God's grace was sufficient for him and that his power was made perfect, God's power that is, was made perfect in Paul's weakness. You know, Paul actually wanted the weakness he was experiencing so that the power of Christ would rest upon him. Paul knew that any strength that he had, any power that he had, did not originate with himself as the chief of sinners, but rather was the result of Christ working on his behalf. God gives might to the one who has no strength. As a result, we shouldn't be trying to develop strength. Instead, we should be trusting in Him to give us strength. Now, this sounds counterintuitive. We often think that it's up to us, that we need to perform. We think in this way because of that deadly illness that we all have called pride. We don't want God to do for us. We want to do for God. We think that it is a sign of maturity that we stand on our own two feet and pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and get to work. After all, what will get done unless we do it? Or so we think. Often, when we act that way, there is no place for God to work in our little tiny world that we've created. We are going to do it all. And if for some reason we fail to accomplish all that we desire, we might then call on Him. We decide that we can do it until we are in trouble. And then we call Him into the game, like bringing in a substitute player off the bench. In fact, we do this so much that it becomes second nature to us. It seems to us that this is the proper thing to do. Why bother God with that? I'm going to handle it. When I need Him, I'll call on Him. You know, we might not know, but we're actually believing the lie that God helps those who help themselves. We forget as a result to be humbled under His mighty hand. We forget to allow Him to work, and that we join Him in His work rather than expecting that somehow He's going to join us in our work. And as a result, we attempt to get all the glory. Maybe that's the reason why we do this. Maybe it's the fact that we want the glory, we want the honor, we want the reputation. And the only way to get this is to work and to perform and to be strong. Failure isn't an option for us because failure is going to bring us dishonor. And what we're doing when we think this way, when we act this way, we're actually being glory thieves. We're stealing from God what rightfully belongs to Him and to Him alone. As a result, we need to crucify our pride and we need to fall into His care. If we're in any way going to gain His power that comes through weakness, then we need to be faint. We need to be feeble. We need to actually consider ourselves to be worthless. We need to experience the joy of Him giving us strength in that weakness. And in all of it, we need to give Him the glory of give Him the glory alone. Don't be a glory thief. Now to demonstrate this, Isaiah tells us that even the young, the youths, are going to be weary and faint and fall exhausted. Now, us old folks, we know the importance of a good nap. But young people, they seem to have boundless energy. Isaiah tells us that the challenges that were coming to the people of his day were such that they would overcome even the strongest of the people, the youth of Judah. But those who wait upon the Lord, those who submit to His will, those who endeavor to operate in His strength and not their own, will soar with the eagles. They will be able to do that which it would otherwise be impossible to do. And they can do that because He is the God of the impossible. Nothing is too difficult for Him. In His strength and in His will, we will be able to mount up and fly over all of those troubles. We will be able to run without getting weary and to walk without fainting. Even the young stumble and fall, not just those of us who are hobbling along using canes these days. But in His strength, even the weakest of us can fly and run and walk. Now remember always that this did not come about without a cost. Romans 5:6 tells us, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't come to save the strong, but the weak. Those who are well don't need a physician, but instead those who are sick. And He is the great physician, coming to heal those who are suffering the effects of that disease called sin. Now, before we go to the doctor, we typically have an idea that we're sick. There's something that's not quite right. We may not know what it is that ails us, but we know that something isn't right. Before we go to the great physician, we need to realize that we have need of Him and we have need of His remedy because we know we have a disease. We know that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We certainly do have need. We are the ungodly. We have not loved God with all of our strength. Jesus was asked the greatest commandment. He said you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second commandment is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. On this, all of the law depends. So we haven't loved God with all of our strength, all of our power, all of our might. And we certainly, if we're honest, haven't loved our neighbors or ourselves. We have dishonored God with our thoughts, our words, and our actions. We have been anything except loving to our neighbors, stealing and coveting, dishonoring and hating and lusting. We have broken God's holy law, not just in one point, but at every point. And as a result, we are under the sentence of His wrath until we find peace with Him through Christ. While we were weak, and at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the self-righteous, but instead for those who would recognize their need, those who see clearly their sin. And as He humbles us and as He brings us under conviction of that sin, there's only one proper path for us to take. We need to forsake our sin. We need to turn from it in repentance. We need to throw ourselves on His mercy, trusting in His life, death, and resurrection as our only remedy. We need to take the medicine that He prescribes. Not the medicine that we want. The medicine He prescribes. We need to throw ourselves on the mercy of Christ. And then we'll receive life and peace and comfort and strength from Christ and from Christ alone. There is no other alternative. There is no other path. There is no other road. The only alternative to that path is the alternative of eternal separation from God in the everlasting horrors of hell. Do we recognize our need for Him today? Do we know that the only strength that can meet the challenges of our lives originates with Him? Will we look to Him and His power, strength, and goodness for the power we need to keep from fainting and from falling down into the pit? Come today to Christ for comfort. Come to Christ today for strength. Come to Christ today for joy. Those things aren't found any other place. And make sure that when you come to Him, that you do so in order to give Him all the honor, all the glory, all the praise, for He alone is worthy.